everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. Just noticing I've got makeup all over my shirt. Well, okay, well, it is what it is. how's it going? I'm super glad to be here with all of you, and I hope that you had a really good weekend. Wondering how that new moon treated you on Sunday. I think that there we go. I forgot to sign out. I think I did pretty well with it. We had a very wild weekend, so there's a lot to report. And yes, my hair. Well, let me tell you what happened. First of all, as my hairdresser friend Heath has hammered into me now, we don't curl or color our hair 3 days before the wedding. But we did. And the color is just a shade darker than my regular hair. But I put it on. You're supposed to leave it on for 25 minutes. And I've used this color a lot of times. So I was just coloring my gray, right? So I put it on. I left it on for 25 minutes. My alarm rang. I headed to the bathroom to rinse it out, and I got a client call. And if you guys know me, you know I will rarely, rarely let down a client. It would have to be really serious or my phone malfunction for me to not take a call. Because if you're calling me, it's because there's something important going on, and I need to be present for that. So I took the call. And 25 minutes later, I got in the shower. Never even occurring to me that leaving the dye on for too long would make my hair really dark. I also didn't think about the fact that it could have, like, made my hair fall out or some crazy thing. Also something Heath pointed out. So when I got out of the shower after washing it, I was like, ooh, that looks really dark. But, you know, when your hair's wet, it looks dark. So I thought, well, I'll go blow dry it and it'll be fine. Ma'am, no. It was black. It's still black. Luckily, though, it's a pretty shiny black. Now, he said I could have washed it with dish soap and stripped at least some of the color out. But I was a little bit afraid to do that and make it worse. Because at this point, I have a wedding to attend, family pictures to be a part of, and while my hair is dark, it's pretty and shiny. It's not like orange or fucked up in some other way. So I went, I don't think I'm going to do it. I think I'm just going to leave it like it is and just roll with it. So I did. And I do like it. It's just a little shocking when I look at myself in the mirror. I've never been this dark before. But I don't hate it. It's pretty. It's shiny. It still seems healthy and happy. So yeah, it would lighten it a little. Yeah. But I also don't hold color particularly well, so I would imagine this probably rinses out on its own before you know it, but that's what happened. But that takes me to the wedding. However, I forgot to give part of my intro. I did want to let you know that we're live over at 12radio.com, and you can find me by heading over to 12radio.com. That's where you would listen if you want to listen rather than watch, or go to the chat room. So you can do that by heading to 12radio.com, clicking the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. And you'll see my banner there at the top of the page and people chatting. And you can comment there. I see those comments, but you can also just join the live stream. And I have my eyes on the live stream comment room as well. So you can be in either place and participate in the show, and I'd be happy to have you here. So that's what it's all about. Well, thank you. You guys are nice. but let's talk about the wedding. Whew. So this was my niece Mia's wedding, my younger sister Kara's daughter, and all three of my kids were in the wedding party. So Mia was one of my daycare kids. I watched Mia when she was a baby and a toddler. So not that I don't love all my nieces and nephews a lot, but Mia just, I second mommied her for a couple years. So she just has a really special place in my heart. So This has been very exciting. Her fiance, now husband, is the cutest kid on the planet. His name is Tanner, and his family was fabulous. So nice to see. Like, everybody was so good to each other. And that doesn't always happen, but these guys were great. So the wedding was actually on their property. They have this beautiful home that has this gorgeous yard, and then kind of second level of their yard that leads right down to the Snake River. And it was absolutely gorgeous. So apparently, Tanner's stepdad has a whole bunch of sister or a whole bunch of daughters, and they've been hosting weddings here kind of one after another. So they've kind of got it down to a science. But it was a lovely, lovely day. I did not get a single picture of me. Well, I got one, but I won't put you through it. I took one picture in the car to show my sisters how much cleavage was my dress was showing off, which was a lot. I was like those Victorian ladies, that look like they're 1 second from bursting loose. But that's what my dress was, so it is what it is. So I won't show you my titty photo, but I do have some pictures of my family. I didn't take any pictures of the bride and the groom because they had a photographer there, and that's their story to tell. So I didn't take photos of them, but I thought I would share some pictures of my own family. So Micah was so chatty and friendly at the reception that I didn't get any real good head-on shots of him because he was just busy chatting it up with everybody, and that's what he does. He's a chatter. Let's see. Hold on. Christy told me. Oh, it's here. No. Sorry, just playing with my layout here. Trying to figure out my best option. Okay, I'll just do that. I love this one of Scott and Mars. And Mars by herself. This was during the first dance. She was the maid of honor. And at this point, she was sitting on the rocks right in front of the dance floor because. Because some little kids kept trying to run out on the dance floor during the first dance, and so she was sitting here watching and chaperoning slash supervising to keep kids from going wild. And Matt looking so damn pretty in her gorgeous dress, and Scott in his gorgeous suit. He had a beautiful red suit that matched my dress, the flowers in my dress. So, yeah, so those are a few wedding pictures. It was a very good day. A very good day. And we're just so happy for Mia. Yeah. We danced and we danced and we danced. And oh my Lord, Mia's signature cocktail was a mojito. And it was amazing. But I will say that Christy, she fell on the dance floor. I'll just say it. I said, listen, there's two rules for us. Do not trip, because the dance floor was elevated. So I said, do not trip going onto the dance floor, which I think don't fall down also counts, right? No peeing your pants. Well, guess who fell down and broke the first rule? But it wasn't me for a change, so this is good. At any rate, it was really fun. We had a great day, and the weather was beautiful. A crazy thing is that there had been a gentleman that had fallen in the river and probably drowned several days before the wedding. But where these people's property is, there's a spillway right there. And apparently, when people fall in the river or drown in that river, it's likely that that's where their bodies will end up eventually. And the morning of the wedding, there were some police, some sheriff's boats and search and rescue boats out right there. Was like, oh my gosh, please don't be hauling a dead body out of the river at the time of the wedding. That didn't happen. But just the thought of it is a little bit horrifying. Anyway, I also wanted to share. We went to the wildlife park yesterday, and I had to show you this picture because it is so funny. Look at this bison. Look at her hairdo. She looks like she wants to speak to the manager. Look at that poof of blonde on her head. She had like a Karen haircut. It's so hilarious. And that's her sweet baby. It's also just interesting because that's a piebald mama, the white, with what would be a black baby. The genetics of bison are pretty interesting. Anyway, I had to share because that really cracked me up. I don't know who cuts her hair. Probably her mom. That's my guess. Oh, Lord. And I had one video of the pigs because they did the craziest thing yesterday. I've told you before that Zig will haul bits of his inside bed to his outside bed, or bits of his outside bed in to his inside bed, which means like sticks and leaves and random stuff. And for whatever reason this summer, they have not returned to the outside bed. They're just pretty much sleeping primarily inside, unless they're just laid out in the sun somewhere in the morning. But they're doing things all different this summer. I have no idea why. But yesterday I went downstairs and Zig has hauled an unbelievable amount of weeds. We have a weedy yard and it is their fault. But I don't mean a little bit. He had a ton of them hauled into their bed and they were all curled up on him.
What is going on in here? What is all of these leaves and weeds? Like, you mowed the whole lawn and stuffed them all inside your bed? They're all over you and you're just curled up sleeping on them. Okay, I guess that's what we're doing today. All right, well, have a good nap, I guess.
You see all the grass stains on his head? That's from the hard work he was doing yesterday. I'm also entertained that I didn't even know it was happening. I don't know what I was doing while this was going on, but it wasn't like this when I fed him breakfast. So it was after breakfast that this whole situation happened, but I left it for now. You can see also that he pulled some of his blankets out of the bed. So some of the blankets came out to make room for all of the weeds. He is a crazy pig. There is never a dull moment around here between the pigs, the dogs, and the chickens. But anyway, I'm still entertained, but I don't really want those in my house for very much longer. So usually about every 6 months, I sweep their entire bed up and throw it away and give them some new fleece blankets to tear up and make their house a home again. So it's probably time. So I think all that stuff's going to go away because I don't know what kind of allergens and I don't know. We're probably fine, but at any rate, right when mom's away, apparently my head was turned and this opportunist took the opportunity to do exactly what he did. He did pull a bunch of weeds though, so you got to give him some credit. I mean, he's a gardener, really. Do they hate it when we do that? I don't know. They don't really act like they do. They just start over. And I think Zig maybe likes it because he loves to shred the blankets. He'll spend days down there, shredding all the blankets up into a big pile the way he likes them. And I think he likes doing that, especially in the winter when he's bored, right? And there's nothing to do. He can't go outside. Well, he could go outside. He chooses to not go outside. So, actually, I think he likes getting fresh blankets that are big so he can tear them all up into confetti again. But, and then inevitably, he'll carry some more shit from outside in. We were out of town for the weekend recently, and they had a babysitter. When we got home, that pig had stolen a 2x4 out of the greenhouse, and it was butted up against the back door, against the piggy door, like he'd been trying to tear pull that into the house. This is what I live with. Well, the topic today. Oh, there we go. For Luminous today, we are talking about the summer solstice because it is in just a few days. So that's exciting. We're also going to go to Boise this weekend to celebrate both Father's Day and my birthday, so that's fun too. Pardon me. But summer solstice. You know how much I love the summer solstice. I probably love it because it's so close to my birthday. The association, you know? But also, this is at the point of summer that I'm not desperate for summer to leave yet. You know that I'm pretty sun sensitive, and the sun ends up feeling kind of vicious and aggressive to me over time, but the sun itself, right now is not brutal. It's not wicked. It's not eating me alive. So I think this is just my favorite time of summer until fall comes to play, and then we get to back to that place. But we'll get to a point this summer where the sun just feels like it's attacking you. You know what I mean? That's when I become the biggest night owl. But anyway, so I called this edition the summer solstice when the sun stands still. And just thinking about the summer solstice, it's June 20th or 21st, depending on exactly where the sun hits at the right time. But this is when we reach the longest day and shortest night. The sun climbs to its highest point and appears to pause before beginning the journey back to winter. It also always slays me that this is the day where we start heading back to winter. It'll still be hot as hell for a few months, you know, it'll still be a growing season, but we're already moving back that way. One of the things about the solstices that always strikes me is the inevitable change. And really, how quickly things change and how quickly time moves. The word solstice comes from Latin words sol meaning sun and sister meanings to stand still. Ancient sky watchers noticed that for several days around the solstice, the sun seemed to rise and set in the same place. It was as though the sun had stopped moving. And of course, this is thousands of years ago. There's no clocks, there's no calendars in most cultures, no weather apps. We understand the passing of time by watching the sky. So when the solstice came, it was one of those ways to mark the passing of time. It was also seen as the peak of the sun's power. I love that the solstice is one of those times when a lot of different cultures experienced the solstice, obviously everyone does, but came up with very similar interpretations of the solstice and even celebrations of the solstice. And I find that really fascinating. So we know that people still gather at Stonehenge to watch the sunrise on the solstice. You can find that on YouTube on a live stream and watch it with them. And from an archaeological standpoint, they do believe that the alignment of the monuments in Stonehenge align with the first rays of the solstice light to pass directly through the stones. It's pretty interesting. There's still a lot of arguments about what Stonehenge was meant to be. Whether it was a temple or a gathering place or a calendar, or maybe all of those things or none of those things. But obviously, the solstices really meant something for the people who built it. It's very interesting. It's fascinating that the same thing has been happening there for thousands of years. The ancient Egyptians. The solstice coincided with the annual appearance of Sirius, the brightest star visible from Earth. And in Egyptian culture, the rising of Sirius signaled the coming of the floods of the Nile. When the Nile flooded, that brought fertile soil to the Egyptian farmland. They held out for those floods because it helped them to feed themselves. In ancient Greece, the solstice marked the turning point on the religious calendar. There were festivals honoring gods associated with light, healing, and agriculture. This also, incidentally, is when some historians thought that the timing of the Olympic Games was influenced by the solstice observations, that they may have been a part of that. Why wouldn't they be, really? So, in Northern Europe, the solstice evolved into what we now know as midsummer. In Sweden, Finland, Norway, and Denmark, communities gathered to dance, feast, decorate with flowers, and celebrate the abundance of the season. This is where flower crowns, maypoles, bonfires, and gatherings that lasted long into the night happened. And they still happen today. The Celts built bonfires on hilltops to honor the sun and encourage prosperity. Sacred wells were visited for blessing and healing. And this was a time that people believed that the veil between worlds grew thinner and spiritual communication became easier, a lot like what we say about the autumnal equinox. In ancient China, this was the peak expression of yang energy. That's a representation of warmth, activity, growth, expansion, and vitality. This is when those forces would have reached their greatest strength before starting to return towards balance. We still believe that the summer solstice period is a busy time, an energetic time, a time to do the work, a time to be curious and creative. Before we return back to the more restful seasons. Indigenous cultures here in the Americas recognize the significance of the sun, and that's not even mentioning South America and the Mayans and the Aztecs and what they did with the solstices too. But there was a lot of different ceremony and ideas depending on the nation or the tribe, but there was a belief about a living relationship between the earth, the sky, and the changing seasons. It's true that we live in a world where going outside is a choice, right? It might just be from getting from point A to point B, and that's it. We are not as in tune, as a general rule, with the natural world as our ancestors were, just by circumstance. But the solstice is a good opportunity to do just that. So, some questions you would ask at the solstice. What is flourishing in my life? What has grown stronger? What dreams are finally taking root? A lot of times during the solstices, you'll do the things that you've been thinking about doing. You'll finally take the class or take the trip or cut your hair or make the renovation or make the other big change, the move. More people move in the summer than any other season. I mean, it makes sense from just a logistical standpoint, but I think there's an energetic aspect to that too. But this is typically when you're moving and shaking, making things happen. A few thoughts about small rituals, small things. Ritual doesn't have to be huge, right? It doesn't have to be elaborate. It can be if you want it to be. If you want to plan something and carry that out, more power to you. I've done that many times over the solstices. It feels right with my heart, feels right with my spirit. However, remember that a lot of the things you do are a ritual if you frame it that way, if that's what you're doing, if that's what your intention is, right? Thank you, Renee. Same to you. So, some thoughts. You might just begin the solstice by stepping outside to watch the sunrise. When was the last time you saw the sunrise? Not very often for me. I don't usually get up that early. But maybe you make an exception on the solstice, right? What if you took your coffee outside and or your tea and you just watch the sun come up and spend a few minutes thinking about something you would like to do during the months ahead? It could be many different things. You could gather fresh flowers from your garden or from a local market and place them throughout your home. We know that flowers have long been associated with abundance and celebration, and of course, they're a great reminder and a great way to celebrate the summer solstice. I'm super lucky right now because I got sent home with wedding flowers. The way they did the flowers was really fun. They went to a local flower farm and purchased them from a lady, like right off the plant, told her, walked through her gardens, picked exactly what they wanted. Just like the day before the wedding, so that they bought exactly what she had and what had was that were fresh. And then she cut and arranged all of those things into all of the different vessels they needed to be in. She made the bouquet, the boutonnieres, things like that. And it was all fresh local flowers from this lady's garden or her flower farm, which I thought was just a super great idea. I love it. And now some of them are on my kitchen table, including peonies. Oh my God. The bride's bouquet had three big, gorgeous light yellow or light pink peonies in it. The peonies are so special to me. I loved seeing that. About a gratitude walk? Leave your phone behind if you can, unless that's not safe. Always be safe before anything else. Spend 20 minutes just noticing the world around you. Just pay attention to the flowers, to the sounds of the birds, the warmth of the air, all the details that may go unnoticed when you're distracted. You could create a solstice altar. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but it could be if you want it to be. A candle, a sunflower, or any flower, a favorite crystal, a meaningful photograph. I was thinking you could even make this kind of like a vision board in motion. What if you framed a few things or just laid on, down a picture of a few things that you're trying to accomplish or want to do during the solstice and just let your altar empower those things? Just a thought. But that could create a good focal point for reflection and a reminder of the solstice. And just a celebration of the solstice. This is a good time for cleansing and renewal. It's a great time to open the windows, change the bedding, sweep the floors, burn incense or essential oils. You might do a clearing, a saging, anything like that. Just continue to release stagnant energy and maybe donate or throw a few things away. My aunt told me once that nothing makes her happier than a few bags at the curb. But I really get that now. Like, getting rid of some stuff always feels good, right? A little bit of de-junking, decluttering. If you journal, consider a mid-year reflection. Really think about what's gone on this so far this year? What have you learned? What goals do you have? What goals have changed? What surprises have come along? What do you want to focus on moving forward? Like, where are you? A good check-in, a mid-year check-in is really smart. You cannot adequately accomplish your goals if you're not constantly evaluating where you're at. You just can't. Kind of the same way with a budget and spending your money. You can't keep track of where you're at if you refuse to do things like that. It's no different. Just taking stock. It also helps you to stay honest with yourself. Because if you're just flying by the seat of your pants all the time, you don't really have to be. But the truth is, if you really want to get somewhere, you have to be very accountable, right? All right, how about even smaller things? Wear something yellow, orange, or gold to honor the sun. Eat fresh strawberries, peaches, tomatoes, or other foods that are ripened by the summer sunlight. Spend a few moments barefoot on the earth. Fill a bird bath or leave water for wildlife during the summer heat. I asked for a bird bath for my birthday. I'm very excited because, unfortunately, a red-winged blackbird drowned in my front yard in a big planter that was full of water that we hadn't planted our tomatoes in yet. And I felt so bad, but it got me thinking, you know, I feed the birds in, two different stations in my front yard, but I don't water them. Now, a lot of them fly out back and drink out of the big pool that we keep for the pigs to drink out of and lay in and stuff, but why don't I have a bird bath right up front? Anyway, I believe I'm getting a bird bath for my birthday, and I'm excited. Pick flowers and put them where you'll see them often. Light a candle during dinner or any time with intention. Watch the sunset. Write down something you're proud of accomplishing this year. Little things add up, right? And that's all it takes. One of my favorite solstice traditions is sun tea. I've talked about this before. This was something my mom did that she loved, and I still love it. So to make sun tea, you start with a glass jar. I just buy the half-gallon canning jars. I love those for storing all kinds of things, but dried herbs and so many things. I could go on for an hour. You don't need to hear all that, but a jar like that is fine. A big pickle jar, even anything. So you can make your own blend if you are really fancy, or you can just use your favorite tea. I like mint tea for this. That's my favorite. But hibiscus tea is really, really good this way too. Really, you could use whatever you want. But you're going to take that jar with your tea in it and your big jar of water, take it outside and let it sit in the sunlight for several hours. So you're soaking up the rays of the sun, you're heating your water, you're making your tea. Before you bring it inside, just give it a little blessing. Put your hands on the jar and set your intention. Think about what you might want to welcome into your life in the coming months. Or the clarity you want, or the courage you need, or the joy that you're seeking, or the fun, or the creative kick in the pants, whatever it is you're asking for, right? Just set that intention. Toss it in the fridge. Depending on the tea, you might want to pull your bags at that point so it doesn't get bitter, but you decide if that's right for you. I always use mint and you don't really have to pull the bags, but put it in the fridge and chill it, and then you can sweeten it as you choose or not. And while you drink the tea, imagine yourself just basking in that sunlight. It nourishes the flowers, the gardens, the forests, the fields, and you. I love this. I love it all summer long. This is it. That's the solstice. So I'm curious to know if you guys have any plans, what you are going to do, or if I gave you some ideas of things that you now want to do. Kelly's Refeminist History this week is her article about Chiron moving into Tyrus. Tyrus. What the Chiron moving into Taurus. I don't know where that came from. I'm so entertained. Okay. really good stuff. Interesting things. So thank you, Kelly, for that. I put together a summer solstice oracle spread. I always think that a good oracle spread is called for the solstices. It's a smart time to do a check-in. So I thought I would do the reading for you guys as a collective, and then you can do this reading for yourself if and when you choose to. So, have I come across bee baths? Yeah, last year I made bee baths and sold them on Etsy. I made glass ones that were really cute. I still have mine out front. Yeah. They are really sweet. They're really pretty. The only problem with my bee baths is I felt like they just the water evaporated out of them really quick. I'm actually going to make some ones out of pottery this summer and see if, what I can do with those as well. But yeah, the bee baths are just little bowls. Picture just little bowls on sticks that you put in amongst your flowers and your plants. And the hope is that when you water them, you'll fill up the bee bowl, which you would. If they're very big, the bee bath, then you put some stones in them. In fact, I just pulled two little stones out of the kiln yesterday that I made for bee baths, so that the bees have somewhere to stand, so that they can get drinks and benefit from the water. Yeah, I think bee baths, not only are they adorable, anything we can do to support the bees, right? I'm here for. I planted a Russian sage last year because, they are covered with these purple flowers that I think the bees will love. I know they love them because my sister has one and they go crazy for it. But mine is, it is slow growing. However, I have a huge patch of oregano that I just have let go crazy and do whatever it wants. And it is full of purple blossoms. And the bees love the oregano plants. Love them. So I'm doing my part at least that way, but I'm hoping that I get that Russian sage to really take off here in the next year or two. And then just all my other regular flowers. But my trees, I have two trees in my front yard that bloom. And when they bloom, oh my gosh, they smell unbelievably sweet. It's really sappy. Our cars always end up covered in sap. It drives Scott crazy. But I don't really care. It doesn't faze me. But the bees love those trees. So I'm probably doing my part more than I want, than I'm admitting, because those trees attract an army of bees. But I will, Pamela, I'll let you know when I make some. They're on my list and I have a plan for them. I just need to sit down and do it. All right, so I've got my cards out. It's a seven card spread. Oh, actually, hold on. Was actually going to pull it up a different way. Okay, yeah, that's a little better. All right, so the first card is the Light Within. This is what is shining brightly within you right now. Like, what gifts of yours are shining brightly? How are you shining on the world? So that's the first card. So this is collective again. So we're going to take this all to heart. So here's first position. All right. Second position is what has blossomed, what has grown and come into fruition since the last solstice. So what in the last 6 months has really grown and taken root in you. Third position, what nourishes my soul? This is about what brings you joy, what makes you happy, what makes you peaceful. Four. What am I ready to release? Right, these are the best cards. I agree with you, Sherry. They are my all-time fave. Okay, fifth position, my solar intentions. So, what am I trying to cultivate? What do I want to really work on here in the next few months to come? This is a great spread. I like spreads like this because they really help you to kind of stand back and get some perspective and take a different look at your life and what's going on in your life and in the world around you. Okay, sixth position, guidance from spirits and nature. And seventh position, a blessing for the journey. All right, first position. This is the light within. The card is the universe. Perfect. So, what does it mean? Well, A, it means that collectively you are seeking light from your collective consciousness, from the consciousness of others, from the collective. It also means that it's a good reminder that you're a part of that, right? That you are a part of something bigger than yourself. And that's where your light comes from. It's a good reminder that you are always throwing pebbles into the collective pond. That doesn't mean that you can't have a bad day. It doesn't mean that you can't have road rage or be in a bad mood or, say something negative. Don't fall into that idea that you can't be a human being. That's just bullshit. However, it is a good reminder that what you do makes an impact and a difference. So have that bad day when you need to, but don't forget that the best part of you is helping to bless other people too, and the world and the consciousness as a whole. All right, what has blossomed? All right. It's not always sunshine and roses. What has blossomed is discontent and boredom, meaning you need to look at the portions of your life that you're bored with and start making a plan to do something different. Only you can do something about this. When you hear kids go, "But I'm bored," and you're like, "Oh, well, I could find a toilet for you to scrub," right? Typical mom thing to say. But boredom is your own damn fault. So if you're bored, consider what it is you're bored with and what changes you need to make to break that loose. For many of you, boredom is one of your worst enemies. But discontent always speaks here to me as well. If discontent has blossomed in you, that really seeds resentment. So, whatever that is for you, whether this has to do with your job, or it has to do with your home life, or it just has to do with the way you're spending your time, start making some changes as necessary. Okay, number three. What nourishes my soul? And the card is rejoice in celebration. So, what nourishes your soul? Community in some way. At your comfort level, but do go to the barbecue. Do plan the game night. Do go to the community festival. At your comfort level, do the things that bring you around others in a more joyful way. Because here's the thing. 99% of the time on the internet, it is a cesspool of negativity. And many of us spend a great amount of time on the internet due to our jobs, just due to our habits, our hobbies. But there's a lot of negativity there. Not all. 99% is probably not a fair number, but You get the point. Point being, seek some balance in what you're exposing yourself to. What am I ready to release? Okay. I don't usually do upside downs, but I think I may in this aspect. The card is foundation and achievements. I think, well, I guess not. I'm going to go for this. I feel like what this is really saying is what we're ready to release is the idea of who we are supposed to be. This card is a family facing a home with a rainbow. And it makes me think about how, especially in the US, we were so conditioned to the American dream, the what you were supposed to be, right? And I don't just mean the American dream. I just mean in general, we were led to believe, we were raised to believe that we are supposed to be a certain way, that we are supposed to have certain goals. We're supposed to do life in a certain order, right? And that the world has changed a lot in that aspect, in many of these aspects, and it's not really what's real anymore. So I like with this card the idea of releasing the idea that you have to be a certain person, you have to be a certain way, you have to do things in a certain order or pattern. You don't. You don't. You can just seek your own happiness. You can do your things your way. There's nothing wrong with letting go of judgment and allowing yourself to live however feels right to you and works for you. And I think that's what we have to release. Your solar intentions. What do you want to be working on in the months to come? This is something that I know you have to decide for yourself, but the card that comes up is the Solitude card. This card is a picture of a woman holding a book. She's sitting in what kind of looks like meditation. So the answer here is daydream, meditate, think about it, and decide and set some intentions for yourself for the next few months. If you want to just set some intentions from now until the fall equinox, or if you want to set some intentions for the next 6 months up until the winter solstice, that's your decision. Or maybe you do a little bit of both, but this is your invitation to sit with yourself and decide what is it that I would like to accomplish between now and then, and how do I get there? These aren't New Year's Eve or New Year's resolutions, right? These are actionable plans. These are goals. These are things that we want to do or accomplish or make or find or learn, and a plan about how we're going to do that. Okay. Or maybe your sole intention is just to leave yourself the hell alone, to just relax and be. And guess what? There's not a thing wrong with that. Trust how you're feeling, what your spirit is guiding you to do right now. All right, the number six position is guidance from spirit and nature. So the card is trapped in fear. Makes me think about when you see a moth trapped in a window, the way it flutters and fights. And if you manage to get the window open, it'll disappear out into the world and you'll never see it again. And there's a rush of relief for you and for them that you got them out, right? Being trapped in fear is something that animals suffer from, and so do we. Don't be that moth in the window. If you are, remember that you have the power to open the window. Don't just struggle against it. We have been conditioned to allow ourselves to suffer, especially as women, because we suffer through a lot. From your first period and your first cramps, you discover that you're just expected to do this. And yeah, maybe you can take some Tylenol or use a heating pad, but guess what? You still gotta go to school. You still gotta go to work. Your mom probably told you something along the lines of, well, buck up. This is your life now, right? And so you did. How many times have you suffered through a work day or a social event or something else when you felt like absolute shit? And not, of course, just from your period, but maybe from other things too, but because you just had to. And then being pregnant and expecting to carry out life as if nothing, right? Still gotta go to work. Still gotta do the things. Still gotta take care of life. You can't just lay on the couch. You have to keep going. That's what we are conditioned to do. And in some aspects, we just have to. And we're tough as hell for it. However, this card is reminding you that you don't always have to be the moth in the window, right? Beating yourself against the glass. You can go a different direction. And unlike the moth, you can open the damn window yourself. Do not suffer in silence for no reason. If your body's been hurting for a while, go to the doctor. If the doctor sucks, find somebody else. If you're uncomfortable with something going on in your world, make a change. If there are people in your world making you miserable, get some boundaries. If you're living in a place that you can't stand, consider leaving. You are not as stuck as you think you are. In fact, you're only as stuck as you decide you are. In this big modern world, you do have options. But you built up a bunch of walls a long time ago, and I know you did because I did because we all do. This is just a part of the way our brains work. And you forget to revisit those topics because you already made a decision about whether or not you could do that or should do that, and you might have forgotten that you can go back. You can always change your mind, and that time changes many things. So it might be worth considering again. Don't suffer in silence. Don't be trapped in fear. Don't allow yourself to do that. And here's the thing. If you are finding yourself in that spot and you need some help, please call me. Please. We can talk it out. We can do some energy work. We can call in some help from your ancestors. There are things we can do to help break you out of that. Sometimes you just need a perspective of somebody else to go, oh, maybe I'm being ridiculous, or maybe I really do need to make a change, right? How often do you hear women say, after they've been in terrible, like domestic violence situations and stuff, that they didn't know how bad it had to be? They didn't know how bad was bad enough, right? Every time I go for my infusion, they ask you, or the doctor, like my rheumatologist, how bad is your pain on a scale of 1 to 10? And I honestly never have any idea what to say. I don't know. What is the worst? What is the worst? And what do I say? Because I don't want to be a big baby, but you're supposed to tell the truth to the doctor. But then again, what is the scale? How do you really know? How bad is too bad? I'm just saying, you don't have to suffer. You weren't born to suffer. Lastly, a blessing for the journey, and I love it because this card. Sherry said you have to say at least six to keep the insurance paying. Well, I better amp it up because I always say five. fulfillment of wishes. A blessing for the journey. So, what's the blessing? That what I want will happen. I can envision it. I can see it. I trust it. I trust me. I trust the world around me. That's the blessing, but I also hope it's the outcome for you and for me. So there you go. So that was a collective way to use this spread, but I really encourage you to do it for yourself too, or give me a call over on the lines and ask me to do it for you. I sure will. Just give me a heads up notice so that I'm sure to be in front of my cards, but if you want me to do that reading for you, I would be more than happy to do so. Okay. Christie's Energy Oracle exercise is to cl the clear your bubble. This is a really good clearing, an easy, quick one. good one for this week, I think. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad, per always. Lots of meditations over at Planet Meditation. And that's it. That is Luminous for the week. So I hope that you found some gems in there. If you do not subscribe to Luminous and you'd like to, because it does come into your email box, your inbox, email box, every Tuesday morning, along with the daily dish that comes to you every day, there is a link in my show notes here on YouTube to subscribe. It's a subscription, little form that you fill out for constant contact, and it just automatically adds you to my list. So that's the way to do it if you'd like to just receive it every week. But if you don't, you can just come over here and watch the show. That's what we got. And that's what I've got. So I want to remind you that I am a professional psychic advisor over at onetolisten.com. You can find me over there every single day doing readings, healings, animal communication, tons of energy work, mediumship. Sometimes it's just some mentoring or some comfort. Sometimes it's just some validation of your intuition to help you make a decision. Whatever it is, you guys, I'm here for you. Don't forget that if it's important to you, it's important to me too. Full stop. All righty. That's where we're at. I will see you out next week. I'll be back. Same place, same time. Thanks so much for being here. Thanks for being in the chat. I love and appreciate you guys, and I'm glad you're a part of my journey. This has been yet another production of the Katie Weaver Show here on Want You Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.